Let's turn to the Word of God in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm going to look with you this evening at 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. So let's read those verses once again. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Prayer day, as I think you know, has to do with earthly things. All those things that are part of our life here in the world and part of our and necessary for our earthly existence. At one time, it was especially a day set apart, set aside to pray for crops and rain. Now it's a reminder of our need for daily bread and all the other necessities of life. Paul here, under the inspiration of the Spirit, speaks of meats and marriage, but also of every creature of God. And the reference is to those created things that are part of our earthly existence. They are, Paul says, sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. And that's what I want to focus on this evening, what that means, that those earthly things, food and marriage and so many other things besides, are sanctified and sanctified by the Word and prayer. So first of all, that Word, sanctified, in verse 5. The Word means, I want to put it as in as memorable a way as possible, that Word means that the food that you eat as a believer is different from the food that an unbeliever eats, that the clothes you wear, even if they're bought in the same shop and have the same tag on them, are different from the clothes that an unbeliever wears, that your marriages, that's not so hard to see, is it? Are different from the marriages of the ungodly. That's what sanctified means. Holy, set apart, different. The bread of the Lord's Supper, even though it remains bread, doesn't taste different, doesn't have a different texture, isn't changed into the body of Jesus, as some teach. The bread of the Lord's Supper is different from other bread and becomes, for the believer, not just something that he can put into his mouth and chew and swallow, but a means by which he comes to a better understanding of the great truth that Jesus is the bread of life, the food of our souls. In that way, it's different from other bread. And that's true, the Word of God says here, of our food but and of our marriages, but of every creature of God. The work of a believer is different from the work of an ungodly person. The money that a believer has is somehow or other different. It's sanctified. It's holy money in comparison to whatever wealth an unbeliever has. It's quite something to think about, isn't it? Your homes, the homes in which you live, are different from the homes of the ungodly. And so, with every creature of God, every created thing, insofar as it is part of your life. Perhaps if you want another example, you can think of the priests and Levites in the Old Testament. They were sanctified. And that meant not only that they were holy in some special sense of the word, but that their whole life was different from the life of the other Israelites. They had a different inheritance. They had different work to do. They ate differently than the rest of the Israelites. They were clothed differently. And that's what the Word of God is talking about here when it says that every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for, because it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Now, I want to make absolutely clear that all those things, those creatures of God, created things, are not different in themselves. Talked about that with the bread of the Lord's Supper. It is, on the one hand, still bread. And if you ate enough of it, it would be sufficient to sustain your health and strength. And that's true of all these other things as well. The marriage, all other things being equal, of course, the marriage of two believers is, in that respect, like the marriage of an unbeliever. One man, one woman, living together under one roof, sharing one life, raising their children, and all of the rest that's part of marriage. The work that a believer does is in itself no different from the work of an unbeliever. If a believer is a builder, he uses the same tools to build the same kind of houses that an unbeliever uses to build. And so it is with all these created things. They're not different in themselves. The food tastes the same. Again, everything else being equal, tastes the same to believer and unbeliever. Has the same physical effect in the believer as in the unbeliever. That's not the difference. But the difference between, speaking of food, between the food that you eat and the food that an unbeliever eats is, first of all, this, that when you eat your food, you eat with it the blessing of God. That's one great difference. And of course, that's a world of difference, because when the unbeliever eats, he eats not God's blessing with his food, but God's curse. So the believer eats with the blessing of his heavenly Father. The difference is, in the second place, that the food you eat, I don't even pretend to understand how that's possible, but the food you eat serves your eternal well-being. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. And of course, there too, your food is as different as it can possibly be from the food that an unbeliever eats, because his food and drink serves his eternal condemnation. Unless, of course, God changes his heart. So there's two differences. You eat and drink, marry or live singly. Go to work and do your work with the blessing of God, and under that blessing in such a way that it all serves your eternal salvation. And then too, this, and that's the greatest difference of all. By the blessing of God, and by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your food, your marriages, all those created things that are part of your daily life, are used for the glory of God. He's glorified, honored, praised in your use of them. And that too makes everything you do, every aspect of your life, different from the life of an unbeliever. Sanctified. Sanctified, as we might say, to the master's use. Now, Paul says that the Word of God and prayer have to be part of that. They're sanctified by the Word and by prayer. Now, before we talk about that, I want to make it absolutely clear that those things in themselves are nothing. All this traces back to the cross and to the grace of God. Really? It's not the word and prayer that sanctify these earthly things, but the cross and the grace of God, which come from the cross of our Savior, that sanctify them. But the word and prayer are the means by which, in our everyday life, that grace, the cross of our Savior, makes our food and drink, our clothing, our marriages, our work, everything we have, different. Why is the word important? It's not so difficult to see. The word is of the greatest possible importance because it governs our use of those things. There's so many examples of that. Wine. Paul talks about it here in 1 Timothy when he tells Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and for his oft infirmities. Wine is one of those creatures of God, which the Word of God says here is good and nothing to be refused. But obviously, in our use of wine, we have to be guided by the Word of God, because otherwise we fall into the sin of drunkenness and abuse, misuse that good gift of God. Food is one of those creatures of God that Paul is talking about here. It's good. And that means, Paul says, that it can be enjoyed too. But obviously, even our eating and drinking has to be guided and directed by the Word of God, because otherwise we become guilty of gluttony. Or even, as can be the case, making something as ordinary as food an idol. Marriage. That's the other thing Paul mentions here. One of those creatures of God. It's good. Even talked about that. It's one of those things that's very important for most of us in our long journey to heaven. It's not good. Not for most of us, the Bible says, that we be alone. But our use of that good gift has to be guided and directed by the Word of God. Or it becomes as corrupt and misused as it is in the world today, which seems not even to understand anymore what marriage is as it was first ordained by God. Work. It's a good thing to be able to work, to have sufficient work for the support of our families, and to keep ourselves from falling into the sin of idleness with all its attendant ills. But you know as well as I do that for some who are not guided as they should be by the Word of God, work becomes everything. It really becomes their God. And so the Word of God says here, those creatures of God are good. Nothing to be refused. Because they're sanctified by the Word. The Word directs us, controls us, shows us how to use those things. And above all, of course, that's the most important thing of all, the Word constantly reminds us of the fact that everything must be for the glory of God, and then it teaches us, too, His glory. How great, how wonderful, how amazing He is in His loving kindness, in His grace, in His mercy, in His faithfulness to us. Sanctified by the Word. And that's where prayer comes in, the second thing that the Apostle Paul mentions in verse 5. It's not just the Word that's important, but prayer too. Because the Word, having reminded us of our obligations to the God of heaven and earth, and of the fact that we must live for Him in everything we do, it's prayer that keeps us in communion with Him. And none of us could possibly live for His glory unless we are living at the same time, as it were, under His eye, at His side, out of His hand, in constant fellowship with Him. Prayer is, first of all, the way in which we acknowledge our need. And that brings us into His presence. And in itself, all by itself, is a reminder of the fact that we are not our own. It's not only a reminder of our need, but of our complete dependence on Him for everything. Of the fact, to put it another way, that to live apart from God is death. Prayer is a constant reminder of the fact that in Him we live and move and have our being. And then two, of course, prayer is the way in which we express our thankfulness to Him. And that's the most important thing of all about prayer. Because when we thank Him for our daily bread, thank Him for our husbands and for our wives, thank Him for our work, thank Him for everything we have, far more than we would ever ask or think. When we thank Him for those things, then that great goal is reached. And the reason why God gave us those things in the first place is reached. Not so we can be happy, not so that our stomachs are full and our bodies clothed, but that He's honored and glorified. Did you know? Maybe you did. Doesn't hurt to be reminded of it then. Did you know that word thanks or thanksgiving is really the word grace? Literally, thanksgiving is grace-giving. Not in the sense, of course, that we have anything at all to give to God. But it's in thanksgiving that all His goodness to us, all that gracious goodness, goes back to Him for His glory and honor. And that's why the Apostle Paul mentioned thanksgiving, especially here. Every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Wonderful, isn't it? And you can see why we're here this evening. We need to be reminded of those things, don't we? Now, that doesn't change the fact, going back to what Paul says about the Word, that Scripture leaves us some leeway in the use of these things. When Reverend Klein preached through 1 Corinthians, he talked about meats. One person can use them fully and to the glory of God certain foods. Another can't. But if they're used that way, then they're good, sanctified, and bring honor and glory to Him. That's something that's not very well understood by Christians. There are too many Christians who have the idea, I know where it comes from, but it's wrong, the idea that you're really not glorifying God as much as you could be if you're not a minister, maybe a Christian school teacher, have some special calling, or if you don't use what God has given you to go and be a missionary or do some kind of missionary-related work among the heathen. The Word of God really says no to that idea. And makes it clear that it really doesn't matter what work you do, what place and calling you have in life, how you use the talents and possessions that God has given you. As long as you do it, thankfully. As long as you live thankfully in marriage. As long as you, when you sit down to your meals, give thanks to God. And, of course, let the Word guide you in everything you do. Sanctified by the Word and prayer. Now that has some important doctrinal implications. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that this evening. But here's, in these verses, one of the reasons why we as churches don't believe in common grace. Food, rain, sunshine, all those good things are not grace. And the Word of God makes that clear. Not in themselves. The Word of God makes that clear when it says that food and drink, every creature of God, is set apart by the Word of God and prayer. And that makes it impossible that the food which the unbeliever eats and enjoys as he eats and receives his physical health and strength from, makes it impossible that that be grace to him. One of many passages, but I think that needs to be mentioned here. There is no common grace or room for common grace in 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5. Personally and practically, the truth of the Word of God here means, first of all, that the believer, and in that too he's different from the unbeliever, believer is the one who can really, truly enjoy life. And all that God gives. And that's implied to verse 4 in that word, good. Marriage, a well-cooked meal, swinging a hammer, whatever. They could put heart and soul into it and enjoy it in the light of what the Word of God says here. In that sense, too, it's sanctified. Different. Not only is it possible for him to enjoy what God gives, but it's possible for him to be content too. And content, Paul doesn't really talk about that here, but content even if God doesn't give him much of that earthly bounty. To go hungry. If he finds himself in the situation that Paul describes in Romans 8, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And in that connection, the Word of God talks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Can be content. Because of what we talked about earlier, remember, number one, whatever he receives comes with the blessing of God. And that makes even his poverty different. And in the second place, he knows that it works for his eternal good. Even if he's ill and struggles all his life long with illness and weakness and the infirmities of the flesh. And that's the most important thing always, always, always for the believer. He knows that it's possible by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and through the work that he accomplished on the cross to glorify God. In it all, I have learned. Paul says, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But I tell you, beloved, he learned that at the cross. So that's why we're here this evening. Nothing more complicated than that. But something we need to be reminded of. Every creature of God. Think of all God has given you. All that belongs to your life here in the world. Every creature of God is good. Nothing can be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Why? Why? It's sanctified. All that you have is different, set apart, holy. by the Word of God and prayer. So don't let anyone ever, ever tell you that it's foolish to pray for your daily bread, because God already knows what you need and has already determined what He's going to give you. That bread you put in your mouth is different from the bread that your neighbor eats by the Word of God and by prayer, by what you learn from the Word of God and by the fact that even in eating and drinking, you walk and live in His blessed fellowship. Makes it worthwhile to come this evening. Amen. Father in heaven,